This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Well, good morning, America. This is Gun Owners News Hour, and it is really bad to be a gun owner in New Jersey this, you know, today. You see, when Governor Murphy and the New Jersey Democrats rushed a flurry of gun laws through the legislature last June of 2022, one of the laws rammed through was under the guise of banning guns with no serial numbers. Now, this law has banned millions of rifles and shotguns and handguns and hunting guns and target shooting guns and military surplus guns and virtually all muzzle loaders, black powder guns, antique guns, air guns, and BB guns. There are no exceptions and there is no grandfathering. This is the largest gun ban ever passed in the history of the United States. This law bans all firearms with a firearm frame or firearm receiver, which is not imprinted with a large serial number registered, well, not large, but with a serial number registered with a federally licensed manufacturer. The term firearm frame or firearm receiver means part of the firearm that provides housing for the internal components. For any gun to be legal in New Jersey, it must now meet two criteria established by the law. It must be imprinted with a serial number, and the serial number must be registered with a federally licensed manufacturer. Now, under these requirements, following types of firearms are now banned in New Jersey with no grandfathering exceptions. All pre-1968 guns, rifles, shotguns, handguns without serial numbers. And prior to 1968, there was no federal law requiring guns to have serial numbers. That's how we know. All pre-1968. All modern rifles, shotguns, pistols, and revolvers with serial numbers, but not registered with a federally licensed manufacturer. This would include most modern imported rifles, shotguns, pistols, and revolvers, plus foreign firearms and military surplus firearms from countries around the world, if these companies were not federally licensed manufacturers, like Lugers and P-38s and Mausers and Arisakas and Enfields and SKSs and Carcanos and Webleys and Norincos and Mosins. All BB guns without serial numbers. New Jersey includes BB guns, air guns, in its legal definition of a firearm. All BB guns with serial numbers but not registered with a federally licensed manufacturer. This would include most BB guns made because there are no federal firearms manufacturing licenses required to make a BB gun. All muzzle-loading black powder firearms without serial numbers. New Jersey includes black powder guns in its legal definition of a firearm. All muzzle-loading black powder firearms with serial numbers but not registered with a federally licensed manufacturer. This would include most muzzle-loading black powder firearms made and or imported because there are no federal firearms manufacturing licenses required to make or import muzzle-loading black powder firearms. All antique firearms without serial numbers. Of course, they're antiques because they're pre-1968. Antique firearms are firearms under New Jersey law. All antique firearms with serial numbers but not registered with a federally licensed manufacturer. And this would include most antique firearms because a federal firearms manufacturing license did not even exist at the time that the antique firearms were manufactured. The penalties for violating this new law are severe and draconian, as with most New Jersey gun laws. Under NJS 2C39-3, possession of a banned firearm is a crime of the third degree, which carries a maximum of 5 years in prison and a $15,000 fine. Under NJS 2C39-9, purchase, transport, shipping, selling, or disposing of a banned firearm is a crime of the second degree, which carries a maximum of 10 years in prison and a $150,000 fine. If you currently live in New Jersey, determining whether your firearm was made by the federally licensed manufacturer is going to be difficult and is going to require research of each specific firearm. And some guns are obviously made by U.S. licensed manufacturers like Smith & Wesson and Colt and Ruger and Winchester and Remington. Many other firearms, particularly those that were imported, might or might not have federal manufacturing licenses for other models of guns that they make. This law is very poorly written. And there's nothing in it redeeming at all for gun owners of New Jersey. No guidance is given under the law as to how such determinations are to be made. And as with most laws that are gun laws in New Jersey, the gun owner should beware. The new law is an excellent example of how a law is sold to the public as one thing, but its actual effect is something else entirely. And it was either intentionally done to give New Jersey the record for the largest gun ban in U.S. history, or it is an example of just how ignorant our legislators are about guns and the law. And in the case of this, it is most likely a combination of the two. Oh, gosh. Now, this in and of itself is troubling, but I don't know. We'll see. We're going to see what comes of this. Recently, a Democratic Attorney General, actually a coalition of 21 Democratic Attorneys General, have filed a brief in a case challenging the federal ban on sales of handguns and handgun ammunition to adults younger than 21. Arguing that the 60-year prohibition should be upheld because it is consistent with this nation's relevant historical tradition of firearm regulation. The brief was altered by Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul, who is also defending the state's ban on so-called assault weapons and large-capacity magazines in both state and federal court. The AGs of Arizona, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, New Jersey, New York, Nevada, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Vermont, Washington, Wisconsin, and the D.C. have all signed on the brief to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is currently considering Reese v. ATF. The lawsuit was filed back in 2020 by the Firearms Policy Coalition and the Louisiana Shooting Association long before the Supreme Court issued their decision in the Bruin case, but it wasn't until December of last year that U.S. District Judge Robert Summerhays issued his ruling dismissing the case and siding with the federal government. And he, you know, in his decision, he basically cribbed from an earlier pre-Bruin decision that concluded, burdening the conduct that issued the ability of 18 to 20-year-olds to purchase handguns from FFLs is consistent with a long-standing historical tradition which suggests that the conduct at issue falls outside the Second Amendment's protection. At a high level of generality, the present ban is consistent with a long-standing tradition of targeting select groups' ability to access and to use arms for the sake of public safety. More specifically, the present ban appears consistent with a long-standing tradition of age and safety-based restrictions on the ability to access arms. In conformity with founding era thinking and in conformity with the views of various 19th century legislators and courts, Congress restricted the ability of minors under 21 to purchase handguns because Congress found that they tend to be relatively immature and that denying them easy access to handguns would deter violent crime. And Summerhays found no reason to find fault with that ruling, despite the fact that the other district judges in the Fifth Circuit's jurisdiction have ruled otherwise, including a decision last year that struck down Texas's ban on concealed carry for under 21s. So, with the case now before a three-judge panel on the Fifth Circuit, the anti-gun AGs are hoping to convince the court to allow the prohibition to remain in place, arguing that the Second Amendment should serve as no barrier to providing young adults their ability to purchase the most common arm used in self-defense. As Arizona AG Chris Mays put it, protecting our communities from gun violence requires multiple solutions, including laws already on the books. For nearly 60 years, federal law has prohibited the sale of handguns from federally licensed dealers to individuals under 21. The Second Amendment allows for such age-based restrictions, although there's no language in there at all about it. And I urge the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit to affirm the district court ruling and allow this critical safeguard to stand. There is no such designation in the Second Amendment. It is not. There's nothing in it that states anything about age. It does state something about everybody who can be in, you know, the militia, which, according to the Dick Act, that's every able-bodied man, which everybody is considered to be a man at 18 if you're a male, legally. So, there you go. There's your long-standing tradition. They're trying to explain that, you know, well, you know what? I'll get back to that in just a second. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling three-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on three-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. And, you know, we were just talking about this 21-year-old thing. 18 to 21 years old. We'll see where that goes. We'll see where that goes. This I don't know exactly where this would stand within the Bruin decision. I'm kind of thinking... I don't know what to think. I'll have to cipher on that a minute. But along with this, we get this out of the DOD, right? Recently, the armed forces recruitment goals are falling drastically short of even minimum maintenance goals. And DOD, in its infinite wisdom, now has put together yet another significant reason for a young American not to enlist in the military. Under the laughable pretext of lethal means reduction, a new DOD report, Preventing Suicide in the U.S. Military, recommendations from the Suicide Prevention and Response Independent Review Committee, consists of a demand for active duty troops to register all privately owned guns, even those troopers who are in possession of valid state-issued CCW permits. This will, of course, immediately bring about a demand on the part of the woke-based commanders that all privately owned guns now registered to be subsequently removed from homes on base or off of troopers, including officers and NCOs, and locked up for safekeeping within a base armory. And I don't know what the likelihood is that a rightful gun owner would see their gun again, but, you know, this is, taking these guys and we're asking them to be men and to go put themselves in harm's way, and we're not going to trust them. Another part of this impending new policy is that 25 is to become the new minimum age for any soldier, sailor, airman, or marine to privately own any kind of gun. Again, even when the trooper already has a valid CCW permit. So we put into the hands of 18-year-olds automatic weapons that we don't teach them to use because they're all too busy attending transgender sensitivity classes, and then prohibit them from obtaining or training with their own weapons. Even when troopers reach the age of 25, in the unlikely event they're still around, guns that they do privately own, they can't keep with them, as all guns must be locked up and under the control of the base commander. I'm sure this is going to go over. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. A couple of sayings for you. Finding common ground was the thinking, or with the thinking of evil men, is a fool's errand. And where there is trust, no proof is necessary. And where there is none, no proof is possible. Now, of course, these little tidbits come from John Farnham, and this one, this is an older one because this goes back to Cop Town, Cop Land, whatever they call it, Cop City, the Atlanta, Georgia training facility. Well, I know this is old news, but I think it bears repeating. Most of the people that went to start all of this stuff, they were all from out of town. This is not organic protesting eruptions. This is something else. And it's the resurrection of the murderous Weather Underground. And when you look at these guys, when you actually pull them apart and look at who they are and where they come from, you find out that they're primarily affluent, non-working, non-contributing children of wealthy white families, all living comfortably on grandpa's money. So, who got arrested? Well, Nadja Gayer, 24-year-old woman from Nashville. Madeline Fiola, a 22-year-old woman from Spokane. Ivan Ferguson, 23-year-old man from Nevada. Graham Everett, a 20-year-old man from Decatur, Georgia. Francis Carroll, a 22-year-old man from Kennebunkport, Maine, which was the second arrest for domestic terrorism. And Emily Murthy, a 37-year-old woman from Gross Isle, Michigan. This armed Marxist political militia is operating freely and unhindered throughout America. And they are shamelessly, openly employed by Democrats in a modern-day program with the goal of intimidating, maiming, and murdering you, if you're a political opponent, destroy their property in precisely the same way the Nazis used the Sturmabteilung, in the 1930s to accomplish precisely the same goals and in exactly the same way. And violent political militias are supposed to be beneath us here in America, but the amoral leftist Democrats have found them in Antifa to be all sort of useful, all too useful. And these same Democrats simultaneously smugly insist that the rest of us should have all of our guns forcibly confiscated because they want us all to be safe. What they're really looking for is obedience without question. And what they really want for their obedient and murderous political militia is for them to be safe from us. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. Another little saying, without fail, humans will subjugate other humans via violence. To be unarmed is to be subjugated involuntarily. You should never, ever doubt that. We operate in a set of rules nowadays that are completely foreign to me. I have no idea how this became this way. Although, I have seen some people out there, and there's some people out there that look all the way back to a guy. His last name was Minow, and he was the FCC commissioner under JFK. And he sat down and he spoke to all in May of 1961, May the 9th. I wasn't even a month old yet. Sat down and spoke to them in May of 1961, and he said to all of the TV executives out there, he said, if you were to spend a day with your eyeballs glued to your TV programs, you would find a vast wasteland in America today. And, yeah, that's actually a thing. And, you see that, and you look at that, and you just kind of think that to yourself, and I'm just thinking, well, at least there's somebody with a, but nothing changed. As a matter of fact, they went from where they were then to where we are now. In a generation, in the time of my generation, they have changed exactly everything about America. And now, I don't really recognize it anymore. Not with the things that are out there that they're saying, oh, this is normal, and this isn't. And this is the right thing to do, and this isn't. You know, these kind of things. It's a weird place now. Certainly not what I thought it would be. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
USA News Update. President Biden says he's optimistic that a deal will be reached on raising the federal government's debt ceiling. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy claiming Democrats are out of step with ordinary Americans as the debt ceiling talks roll on. Another member of the far-right group, the Oath Keepers, has been given a long prison sentence for her actions in the Capitol insurrection. Jessica Watkins, sentenced to 8.5 years in prison for her role in the January 6th riot. The Texas State House beginning impeachment proceedings on Attorney General Ken Paxton today. The Republican-led House General Investigating Committee filed 20 articles of impeachment against Paxton. An airline passenger arrested for opening a plane's door mid-flight. The Asiana Airlines flight was coming in for a landing in South Korea and was still 700 feet off the ground when that passenger opened the cabin door. Corey Myers, USA News.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. On March 15th, 2020, when I was myself was just coming out of being sick with COVID, then President Donald Trump declared a national COVID-19 emergency. Cornell Law Professor Michael Dorff urged Congress to impose a nationwide lockdown and suspend the writ of habeas corpus. Congress never took either of those constitutionally dubious steps, which Dorff said were necessary to save the nation. Instead, as Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch noted last week, executive officials across the country issued emergency decrees on a breathtaking scale, amounting to one of the greatest intrusions on civil liberties in U.S. history. That experience made it clear, this is all coming from Justice Gorsuch, made it clear that legislators needed to reconsider the definition of emergencies and impose limits on the powers they confer. Now, the context of these comments was a case involving public health orders that allowed immediate expulsion of unauthorized immigrants, including asylum seekers, all sensibly based on the fear that they would exacerbate the COVID-19 epidemic in the United States. The CDC issued the first such order in March of 2020, citing the authority granted by 42 U.S. Code Section 265, and the policy was repeatedly extended by the Trump and Biden administrations. Those Title 42 orders inspired litigation by opponents and supporters, resulting in conflicting district court decisions. And the public health rationale for the orders, never very persuasive, became steadily less credible. It became clear, though, in the end, that maintaining the orders had nothing to do with curtailing the spread of COVID-19. As Gorsuch remarked in December at an earlier stage of this case, the current border crisis is not a COVID crisis, and courts should not be in the business of perpetuating administrative edicts designed for one emergency only because elected officials have failed to address a different emergency. The COVID-19 connection was likewise debatable when the CDC imposed a nationwide eviction moratorium in September 2020 and repeatedly extended it, citing another section of Title 42. And that startling power grab, the Supreme Court eventually ruled, was beyond the authority that Congress had granted the agency. Then they reached a similar conclusion when it considered the vaccine mandate that the Biden administration tried to impose by treating COVID-19 transmission as a workplace hazard. Meanwhile, local and state officials had ordered sweeping, long-lasting restrictions on social and economic activity, impeded only occasionally by judicial intervention. And these involved scientifically senseless rules and arbitrary distinctions between essential and non-essential businesses. And they impinged on fundamental rights, including freedom of movement, freedom of association, the free exercise of religion, and the right to armed self-defense. Worse, all these restrictions have the force of law, sometimes backed by criminal as well as civil penalties, even though the elected representative charged with lawmaking did not participate in formulating or approving them. The orders were based on statutes that granted governors vast powers during emergencies that they themselves declared and extended. And that end run, which became increasingly untenable as emergency declarations dragged on for many months, provoked a flurry of legislative activity in 2020, 2021, and 22. According to a tally by the National Conference of State Legislatures in 2021, at least 47 states considered limits and conditions on governors' emergency powers, and more than two dozen approved them. Some of these laws set time limits on emergency declarations, allow legislatures to override them, and or require legislative approval to extend them. Kentucky also imposed more specific constraints, barring emergency orders that interfere with prayer or protest. The pandemic demonstrated that the states had these very broad emergency powers available to governors with very little in the way of limitations. This coming from Daniel Dew, Director of Legal Policy at the Pacific Legal Foundation. Legislators who take their jobs seriously should address that hazard to freedom before the next emergency rolls around. If emergency decrees promise to solve some problems, they threaten to generate others, Gorsuch warns. Rule by indefinite emergency edict risks leaving all of us with the shell of a democracy and civil liberties just as hollow. In the end, if they had gone on with this, I kind of think that this would have led down a really serious path. I kind of think. I'm not sure, but I kind of think. Now, some states, like the state I live in, pretty much remained open for business. Where I live in the upstate of South Carolina was much more restrictive than, say, the Midlands of South Carolina, where I was going to get my back cracked all the time. I mean, down there, with the exception of seeing masks everywhere, things pretty much kept continuing on like they always have. Up here, they shut all of downtown Greenville down. And in the end, a lot of businesses went out of business. And to that degree, there are still, echoes of that happening. And one thing that we know now is that it was never the emergency it was made out to be. Which begs the question, why did they go in this direction? Why did they take it to this degree? Because it's never happened like this before. I mean, during 1968, when they had the Hong Kong flu. You also had Woodstock. I mean, people were in very close proximity during Woodstock, and we did lose 100,000 people to Hong Kong flu in 1968. However, we never shut the country down. And there were 11 other pandemics besides that one that these United States have been through, and we never shut the country down. For me, as I look back at this, I sort of look at this and I sort of say to myself This was an information gathering operation. This was something where they wanted to see how far we would go. Now, when you look at what just happened in New Jersey, which it didn't just happen, it happened back in June, and it only is just now beginning to take effect. They passed a law without really looking at it. They passed a law without really debating it because New Jersey. And now all kinds of things are about to happen in New Jersey. All kinds of guns that have existed, gosh, who knows how long, and now they're all illegal. They're all going to be illegal. And if you don't get rid of them, and I don't know how you're going to get rid of them, where are you going to get rid of them? You just going to take them somewhere and have them ground up to save your skin? This kind of information operation they did with COVID-19 told them that with the right amount of fear, they can do pretty much whatever they want to do in these United States. So that's where we are at the moment. We are right there smack dab in the middle of it. In the middle of this morass of false beliefs. Now, see, I'm very happy that I live in a state that is the way it is, although it could be so much better. So we're going to see. The pandemic proved something to me about the government, and I didn't like any of it. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to DanPilla.com to order your copy. That's DanPilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to DanPilla.com. That's DanPilla.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
One more go round. This is Gun Owners News Hour. You know, we get this from Donald Trump. He said this May the 10th of this year. As you know, the bump stocks are actually a very unimportant thing. And NRA, I went with them and they said it doesn't mean anything. They're actually all they do is teach you how to shoot very inaccurately. So we did that. This is what he said on CNN's town hall. Wayne LaPierre on October 5th, 2017. The NRA believes that devices designed to allow semi-automatic rifles to function like fully automatic rifles should be subject to additional regulations. This was a joint statement of Wayne LaPierre and Chris Cox. When Trump pushed his ATF to reclassify bump stocks as machine guns under the NFA, he had the blessings of Wayne LaPierre and the NRA to do it, if not specifically, but definitely in principle. After the horrific attack in Las Vegas in 2017, LaPierre put out a joint statement with then-director of NRA ILA, Chris Cox, declaring, "The NRA believes that devices designed to allow semi-automatic rifles to function like fully automatic rifles should be subject to additional regulations." Now, LaPierre was called out on that one, and he began to backpedal a little bit, claiming that the association wasn't calling for bump stocks to be banned, just regulated. And that statement was proven a lie by LaPierre's strongest supporter on the NRA Board of Directors, Florida lobbyist and former NRA President Marion Hammer. She submitted a rebuttal to an Amalan news column in which she made clear her personal disdain for bump stocks and anyone who would own one. And at the same time, others in the gun press praised LaPierre's statement, suggesting it was a genius move to outmaneuver opponents in D.C. and the media. Jeff Knox called for the NRA Board of Directors to repudiate LaPierre's statement. And he could have suggested a willingness of only part of the NRA to discuss whether some regulation of bump stocks might be appropriate. And he would have achieved the same political result without ceding the core principle of the issue. By stating that bump stocks make semi-autos function like machine guns, and declaring that NRA believes the devices should be more tightly regulated, he completely undercut any ground for defending the devices in the ongoing debate. And that's one of those things that once it gets out there, there's no way to pull it back. You know, there was no way to reconcile his call for regulation with his later statements. And the NRA's current public position, opposing the reclassification and supporting lawsuits calling for the repeal of the ban. Now, for a lot of gun voters in America, that was bad. They still hold a grudge against Trump for his failure to stand by our principles. But, so there's a couple things you have to understand about Trump. And let's take a few other things into consideration. He's also endorsed bans on assault weapons, and he's also supported red flag laws, all while claiming to be a staunch supporter of the Second Amendment. And some of those things he stated began where we are now, say, with pistol braces, forced reset triggers, parts kits, and more. Now, the problem here is actually one of just not knowing what he's talking about. Which, unfortunately, that was President Trump's problem. And we get this. It is clear to those of us committed to the right and to keep and bear arms that Donald Trump doesn't really understand our issue and can't be relied on to stand up for our principles. I wouldn't exactly put it that way, but what I would say is he's a New York guy. And he's also, he until he became president, he has been used to having to play both sides. Like all other businessmen out there. You give money to both sides, you support both sides, because one side's going to win, and then you got to do things with them. And the other side's going to win, and then you got to do things with them. So, this is what we got. And I supported him, and I would support him again. Now, with Trump, they're having a hard time forgiving that. Now, very few politicians would do what he did, because he tried to keep every promise he made. For everybody else, for most politicians, every issue is just a chip to be played on their political poker table. And the primary objective is to get the best deal they can in the direction of their goals and the goals of their constituents without giving up the rest they can that might offend or frustrate their constituents. Because primarily it's really about staying in office. Rarely do they actually understand the details, and even more rarely do they adhere to any sort of unyielding principle. And that's just the nature of the beast. And until something happens to change that, it will continue to be the nature of the beast. That doesn't mean that something can't happen to change it. I'm just simply telling you what the state of things as they are now. The secret to keeping politicians on the straight and narrow is to always be educating them. They must be informed and guided by knowledgeable experts and their constituents constantly. It would be nice if we had a really well-educated president and or political group of people that fully understood the Constitution and the right to keep and bear arms and all of the Bill of Rights and everything else. And you got to understand, these guys are unicorns. They're very rare. Those kinds of people are very rare. In the real world, we have to deal with real politicians. And this means we're working with a bunch of people and their flaws and their shortcomings. Now, this begs the question. At the time, in 2017, when this happened, the NRA was the most powerful player on the horizon. So can we really expect any politician to be more firmly grounded in Second Amendment history and principles than the head of the then most powerful gun rights organization in the world? Personally, I don't like Trump at all. Don't like him. But I voted for him twice because I like him as president. I'm not looking for a Boy Scout as president. I'm looking for a brawler. I appreciate many of the things he accomplished during his presidency. And he's not solid on gun issues. Politicians almost never are. And if he wins the Republican primary, I will vote for him again. Now, personally, there's a few other guys I wouldn't mind seeing getting it, primarily Ron DeSantis, but we'll see. That's a discussion for a different day. What is very, very important today is to remember that regardless of who's running for president, governor, congressman, state legislator, or city councilman, we, that's me and you, have to understand that once we vote for them, that we can't trust them. If we vote for them and our guy wins, oh my gosh, the work we are in for, the constant hounding we're going to be doing, all these other things, these are all things that have to be done. This is activism. We have to do a better job of surrounding these office holders with people who truly understand and respect our rights and the Constitution. Now, really, truly, when you have a new guy coming into office, what they all they have really demonstrated up to this point is an attribute, or as an attribute, is the ability to get elected. None of them are ever going to be perfect. There are going to be some that are a lot less perfect than the others, and there's going to be some that are, you know, easy come, easy go. And there's going to be some that, I don't know, I think deep in their heart they're probably trying their best, but they after a while the ego gets in the way and things just get all gummed up. They're just people. They're just humans. It'll always be a choice between the lesser of two evils, or best case the better or most electable of two candidates. So, in short, there's a few things to remember about politicians. One, they're like toddlers. We're in charge. We're not putting them in charge, that we're in charge. They require constant supervision and need to be taught and corrected as necessary. And it's up to us to ensure that whoever they are, they know our issues and feel the heat and hopefully see the light. The other one is that we have to constantly stay on their case. Because once they're elected, they have to hear from you on a regular basis. Very, very simple thing. Activism, only it begins when you win. And then if you don't win, your activism begins on trying to get back in that fight. Simple thing. I'll be back with you next weekend. Between now and then, remember this. Stay awake and stay aware and carry your personally concealed weapon with you everywhere you go. This has been Gun Owners News Hour. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com, or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.